Welcome back to the Villain Edit. I am Monty Ashley.
And I'm Ryan Hall.
Did you like how I didn't have a period in that? I just kind of rolled it all through to one sentence.
That was very nice.
There wasn't even a semicolon.
No, it was completely with... It was like E.E. Cummings was reading that intro.
Yeah, you have to picture that in a typewriter font. And maybe like some of the letters are in a weird spot
no caps,
on the page.
Yeah, no caps. Somewhere I've never podcasted, gladly beyond. Except I think I may have had punctuation in that.
He uses punctuation sometimes. There was one really cool poem I read called Loneliness, where it's just the word loneliness and the sentence, a leaf falls, but the way it's like placed typographically on the page.
Oh, you're right.
The L's kind of look like a leaf drifting down.
Yeah, that's charming.
And now that we've talked about something classy to prove that we're not total idiots, we're going to talk about reality shows.
Woo, back to our normal idiocy. Yay!
Okay, so RuPaul's Drag Race continues to be fun, right?
Yeah,
I am enjoying
this
season
a lot.
It's a lot
of fun this season. There's some crazy stuff going on.
This was the episode where they have to split into teams and do skits.
Oh, yeah. I get it confused with the one where they had to split into teams and do drug commercials.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of splitting into teams and doing acting challenges this year, I think.
So what I really liked about this episode was what I think is an aphorism I've never heard before, which was, closed mouths don't get fed.
Oh, yeah, because somebody was like, I want to be... It was,
Everyone wants to be the narrator of these things, because the narrator everybody thinks is a good gig.
Yeah, because you don't have to act, you just have to narrate.
Which, I was the narrator once in a second grade production of The Mikado.
What?
We had so many kids in the class that we, like, doubled and tripled up on roles on stage. Like, there were, as I remember, there were 3 Nanky Poos and 4 Peep Bows and, like,
what? This
2
is...
Mikados, and they would all move around in unison and do their little second grade versions of the lines.
Okay, I can't decide if that is adorable or terrifying.
I was in it, so I assume it was adorable. Anyway, I was one of the 2 narrators. And I'm still kind of grumpy that I didn't get to be one of the actors, although it meant I got to hold a script. Everyone else had to memorize the extremely cut down versions of the lines.
I was usually the narrator because I was the only one who could read loud, who could read and not sound like a fool.
Yeah. So in this thing, I did not write down who it was, but multiple people wanted to be the narrators. Like, I should be the narrator. Okay. And then someone else says, why don't you just let me be the narrator because I wrote the jokes. And the team leader looked at the other person and said, you okay with that? I guess. Great.
It was Mayhem Miller who wanted to be the narrator.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then the person that wrote the jokes was the muscly one.
Sure.
And she said, well, Mayhem, do you want to do it? And Mayhem's like, fine, whatever.
And the leader just cut it off. Like, okay, because...
That was Vixen.
Yeah, because closed mouths don't get fed. I'm not wasting time here. Move it along.
Yep.
You want something? Go get it. Then later, Vixen complained, well, of course Eureka's good at getting all the attention on her. Like, that's not one of the fundamental skills.
Yeah.
Not only of being on a reality show, but specifically of being a drag queen on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Right. Getting the attention is your job there.
Like, if you can't pull focus, you're not going to win, and you knew that going in.
If you can't pull focus... How the hell are you going to expect anyone else to pull focus?
What?
Never mind. It's...
All right.
It's clever and funny.
Oh, okay. Good one, Rias.
Have the best.
Nailed it. It was the usual kind of Drag Race skits. Nothing funny. Lots of over-the-top acting and slapping. They made a big deal in the rehearsal segments of Eureka actually slapping Ms. Cracker, which horrified... Michelle Visage, even though Miss Cracker was like,
Miss Cracker was like, yeah, she was like, shh. I had the feeling she said, just go ahead and really hit me.
Yeah. And then
she got hit with a purse, And it looked like it was a really hard hit, but it wasn't. Yeah. It was just sold well.
Because Ms. Cracker knows what's up. And we saw that like 3 or 4 times, and it wasn't in the final thing, which was weird.
Yeah.
Although Eureka and Cracker had plenty of material. They were doing an end of days thing where I forget what it was that we're supposed to be selling or what the joke was. But the only thing I remember from that sketch.
Here's what was happening.
Okay.
They were supposed to sell dating apps.
Right.
One of them was a dating app for doomsday preppers. That was the post-apocalyptic one. One was a dating app for... Oh, I don't remember what the other one was.
Oh, you were so confident.
I was confident in my doomsday prepper app.
What I liked about the end of days...
Oh, it was a Butterface.
Oh, yeah.
A dating app for ladies who have great bodies.
And they were all supposed to make their faces look ugly, which none of them were... Like, I just finished watching season 2 of Dragula. None of these ugly faces could compete on Dragula at all.
No.
But I will say I liked how Aquaria can go ugly instead of just pretty.
She seemed to enjoy it. Didn't she glue on like 3 extra noses?
Yeah, she had noses on her cheek to provide extra warts. And then Yua was like, well, they took all the noses. So Yua did not really get into the spirit of making yourself ugly. But what
no,
I'm
she
trying
did not.
To say about the end of days one is that the funniest part was character one runs in saying, it's the end of days! And Eureka's read of just looking at him and saying, we know.
Yeah, that was a great read, and it was super funny.
Like, the underplaying of, that was a great choice, and shows that you don't always have to scream everything to make it funny, which is a message the producers of these sketches should take a note for.
Yes.
The guest judge was Courtney Love and was boring, which is worse than being a disaster.
She was pretty boring. I mean, she had her head laid down on the desk. She's kind of doing the boneless, aren't I cute thing, which you're a little long in the tooth for that.
But that did mean we got to see a lip sync of Celebrity Skin, which is a song I genuinely love.
I genuinely love that song, too, so I was really happy. Who was lip syncing it?
It was Yua and Mayhem, and Mayhem destroyed it, and Yua just did some air guitar.
Yeah. I'm very disappointed in Yua because of her ugly look was just her beauty look with some black spots on it. And I felt like it was being mean to Dusty Bottoms, for whom black spots are her trademark.
Right? That's my turf, lady. I will say, what I really liked about having Untucked part of the show again. So, allegedly, it's 1.5 hours of Drag Race and then 1/2 hour of Untucked, the backstage show. But it's all one episode on TiVo.
Yeah, which is nice.
I like the storytelling it does, because you get the chronological tale through the person who is eliminated. Then Untucked starts, and you are rewound to about 1/2 hour earlier, and you get backstage comments. And then that narrative continues through the elimination, and then picks up the story. So you see how the eliminated person dealt with it, and how they're...
Yeah, it's beautifully edited. They're doing a great job.
Now, Untucked itself is kind of about the drama. They had Aquaria and Vixen this time, where during the regular episode, Aquaria took a couple of shots at Vixen, like... complained that Vixen wasn't wearing her... Vixen borrowed a wig for her best drag in the previous episode. Which, okay. I don't care.
I don't care either. It's not a drama.
But Aquaria, takes
Focus
a shot at Vixen for that, and then Vixen goes nuts on her until there's a spider and everyone loses their mind, which was adorable.
Yes, everybody's scared of the spider. They had to have a production assistant come in and remove it.
And then later, everyone else is having a fun conversation and Aquaria tries to throw some casual shade at Vixen, and Vixen again just goes nuts on her. Now, according to Vixen, the reason for this is, I've made it clear that I will go off on you, so why would you poke at me?
Agreed. She has made it clear in every episode that she is a mixer.
Yeah.
And that she is will never back down from a fight, no matter how stupid it is.
Cracker tried to talk her into responding at a 5 instead of a 10. And Vixen says, being at 10 is what got me here. And true. Also points out that Aquaria, especially Aquaria kind of made up like St. Sebastian with tears of blood.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that she was stuck through with arrows like St. Sebastian from her runway.
Aquaria will pick at Vixen. Vixen will respond harshly, and then Aquaria will start crying. And Vixen accurately says, now you're painting a picture in front of these cameras where I'm the angry black one, and you're the tiny, aggrieved white one. And I think that's a really...
It is a good point.
Yeah. But I will also say Vixen loves conflict.
Right.
Like, as in the first episodes Untucked, Vixen was openly trying to find out who's got beef. Oh, Aquaria and Cracker have beef? Let's mix that up. Let's see what's going. Because Vixen is very comfortable with a lot of people shouting, and some people aren't.
Right.
But I think Vixen very solidly defended her position, which you now know if you take a shot at Vixen, that's what's coming at you.
Yeah,
so you don't really...
Maybe you don't want to do that?
Yeah, like... Stay out of Vixen's way. I'd stay out of Vixen's way.
I'm staying out of her way. I'm clear over here on the other end of the couch.
I also saw a video of Cracker, I think, at a viewing party, saying that a lot of fans are now taking sides and saying mean things on people's Instagrams, which...
Yeah, that's been happening.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. Don't be those jerks.
You're not throwing shade. You're not reading people. You're just being an asshole.
Yeah.
Here, and Cracker provided a really good way to tell if you are throwing shade correctly. If the person you're insulting laughs, then you did a good job. Like, if you can look someone in the eye and say this thing, and they go, all right, that's a pretty good one, then great, you got away with it, and we're all having
fun.
Yeah,
but just saying, I wish that person would die,
Not
throwing shade,
if
just being an asshole.
If you're saying it so other people laugh at them, knock it off. Especially because these people fighting, they know each other, they're in the same field, and they're all world-class at what they do.
Right, it's like when you and your friends are sitting around calling each other names, and you're all laughing about it. Cool. Somebody else comes in from outside and calls your friend a name, there's going to be a fight.
Even if Vixen explicitly says in this episode, I don't feel sisterhood with Aquaria, that doesn't mean I get to go nosing in.
I don't feel sisterhood with Aquaria.
Anyway, Drag Race continues to be fun. You was eliminated.
She was.
Which, I liked her, but I wasn't that surprised.
She seemed a little green.
She seemed a little green. And it was always a little confusing that she was called Hamasaki, but she's Chinese.
Okay, there's that too.
All right, let's whip through the Ink Master stuff. I wrote down one sentence of information about this week's Ink Master.
All right, what do you got?
That Steve is a bad coach. We were down to 2 people on each team. And... Okay, I remember what happened. This is great. Good news, everybody. I've got a mem... I'm seeing something. I'm seeing jerks. This is a...
Wait. Are they arguing?
Yes.
Are they being mean to each other because somebody drew a line that they didn't think was straight enough?
Yep.
Oh my god. I think that's Ink Master.
All right, tell me if this sounds familiar to you. It starts with 3 teams... Each of them now have 2 contestants and 1 coach.
Right.
The first challenge is that the coaches each do a line drawing and hand them out to their teams.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Then everybody tattoos, even the coaches tattoo. And then they say, whoever tattooed as well or better than their coach is safe. Which they didn't say ahead of time, otherwise the coach could have just tanked it. Which I don't want people to do when they're tattooing people.
No, you don't want to tank a tattoo challenge. I'm glad they did not tell them that until the end, because come on, coaches.
And what happened was DJ made a pretty simple one of those wooden Japanese demon mask.
Deals. Oh, yeah, yeah. Demon mask.
And the red ones. Josh did a great job, and Deanna did a slightly worse job.
But they were both good tattoos. They were both good, strong tattoos.
Steve did this ridiculous triple face thing with a...
Steve's tattoo would have been difficult for anyone to tattoo. And he basically just threw his team to the dogs by drawing that.
Because his main goal is to show how great he is.
Right. Steve is all about, I'm great because I can do this tattoo perfectly. When it should be, I want to win this game by giving my team a tattoo that they can do.
So he viewed that as a competition against his team. And he did better than both of the people on his team.
So Steve's drawing was... One, not attractive.
Yeah, it was a human face with a demon face coming out of the hair.
And it's a human...
a skull down at the chin.
Yeah, but there wasn't a clear transition between the skin and the skull. So it was a woman's face, so they all had to do like a big double chin that turns into a skull. It was an unattractive drawing, which was tattooed unattractively onto some poor schmoes.
And both of his teammates, both of the people on his team did not do as well as him, so they're both up for elimination. Also, one of the people on Team Other Guy did not do as well. Sorry, Other Guy, I do not remember your name. You are not Steve or DJ. The producers of the show are not interested in you.
Because you're a good tattooer and you're level-headed and you're not as much of an arguer.
Yeah, you don't do as much shouting, so you're not going to get a lot of stuff on Ink Master. So then the final challenge was basically tattoo whatever you want. But you have to freehand it onto your canvas. Right. And Deanna says, oh, this is great. I'm really good at faces. I'm going to tattoo a face. And most people can't just freehand a face onto skin and then tattoo it.
But she can, and she killed it. It was a gorgeous tattoo. It was like some kind of princess. Yeah, it was very nice.
But here was Steve's advice for the people on his team. Whatever you want to do, just do it.
Good coaching, Steve. God, way to
Steve,
go.
Steve, you're just...
You are the worst.
He is not here to help people. He is just here...
to self-aggrandize.
And he's really not coming off great. Like,
no, he's not.
I know
he's the worst, as we've all said.
We're called the villain edit. So we are aware that people can be made to look worse through the technique of editing. But they can't make you act this big of a jerk. As everybody on Ink Master does. You have the option of not shouting at people.
What? On Ink Master, they do not. They have to have special surgery on their throats before they're allowed to go on. That does not allow them to speak in a normal tone of voice.
So eventually one of the two people on Steve's team went home. Because, in my opinion, he is not doing any mentoring or coaching.
Oh, he's just doing yelling.
And Josh from Team DJ continues to be the biggest jerk in the room, and he's probably going to win because he's also very good at tattooing.
He is very good at tattooing, but he should be on Steve's team because they're the same. They're almost the same guy.
Well, that's why he's pretty good on Team DJ. And for his team, Josh is willing to sometimes say, like, I'm going to step back, let Deanna do the drawing on this one because she's better freehand or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
it's true. He's done that several times.
He knows who's on his team, and that's kind of nice, but I do get tired of him and all the shouting. Do you like watching Ink Master?
Me?
Yeah.
Not really. Not really at all. I like looking at the tattoos because there's some neat art, but honestly, I could just go online and Google neat tattoos.
Yeah.
I think we might be just about done with Ink Master.
It's an unpleasant viewing experience, and I would like to replace it with a pleasant viewing experience.
Are there any reality shows about bunnies?
No.
Sloths?
There's that Meerkat Manor one. That's kind of...
I don't... That hasn't been on for like a decade, old right. man.
And they're all dead. All right. Ink Master Angels is a pleasanter viewing experience, I think.
I enjoy Ink Master Angels. A lot.
This week they went to Savannah, Georgia. And at one point they made people tattoo ships, and their warning was, don't ship the bed.
Ugh. They also had to tattoo peaches, which you would think would be pretty easy. They're mostly round. But no.
Yeah, those were pretty bad.
There were some really bad peach tattoos.
One of the tattooers wasn't trying that hard with the tattoo, and here's the thing. There are three people competing against either on Ink Master Angels. If you walk in and you find out that the other two are already bickering because one of them opened his shop next door to the other one, you can be pretty sure you know what direction the producers want to go.
Yeah.
So she seemed nice, and I liked her tattoo, but apparently there wasn't enough black in it to make it...
Yeah, the problem with her tattoo was that there weren't any... There was not enough outlines or contrast. So after it heals, it's going to fade out, and it's just going to be kind of...
Now, I liked that they told us that, because I feel like I kind of learned something from this show. So, you know, now it's educational.
Right.
It's not just people shouting at each other. And she went home.
And I like the judges on Ink Master Angels.
Yeah.
They seem to be relatively low drama.
Yep. Kelly Doty likes to be loud, but she is fun.
Yeah, she's adorable. I love her.
Ryan, she's the one with the white hair that's... I'm not sure it's white. It's like platinum colored.
Yeah, it's kind of silvery.
Yeah. She was the one tattooing this week, and she did a really good job on the final tattoo, which was people who have been affected by domestic violence or something.
Gun violence.
Gun violence.
So she tattooed a heart-shaped lock with a key surrounded by flowers, and the flowers represented the people that she had lost in her family.
Yeah, it was great.
Mm-hmm.
So that... I'm okay with dropping Ink Master once we get out of the season, but I would like to continue watching Ink Master Angels.
That's fine. Ink Master Angels is a show where they select competitors for Ink Master, but honestly, once they're done with Ink Master Angels, they don't really care where they go.
Yeah, I don't have any idea if any of the people currently on Ink Master came out of the previous season of Ink Master Angels, of which we watched every episode.
Yeah.
Now I'd like to take a break to, not do the full pitch for becoming a member of The Incomparable, but just to let you know that if you are a member of The Incomparable, you can listen to special bonus episodes that have been recorded. For example, for Total Party Kill, that's our D&D podcast, and Random Trek, where people watch an episode of Star Trek and talk about it with Scott McNulty, we recorded a really fun episode of Star Trek role-playing, where I played a Vulcan helmsman who drives like he is a Duke of Hazzard. And people whined. I mean, it says you can go warp 9.2. Why would you go slower, is my question.
Yeah, you need to get there.
And these ships are maneuverable, so, you know, you should be slingshotting around stuff all the time.
Really? It's just common sense. It's very logical.
So that was a super fun episode, and if you're a member, you can listen to that, and I would recommend it, because it is fun.
And also, when you're a member, you get to choose what podcasts you like the best, and then some of your money goes to them.
But this is not a pitch for that. I'm just letting you know, go listen to that episode. We're also going to do a members bonus for this show. We talked about doing a review of movies that are based around reality shows, like Series 7 and The Running Man and a couple others.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember the name of right now.
My Little Eye. There's a Chilean film called The Chosen One. But we got this giant stack of movies sitting here, and we just have not had time to watch all of them.
It's 10 hours of movies, and I haven't seen Ready Player One yet, and I really want to.
Okay.
So we are audibling to a different bonus episode.
Audibling?
Audible-ing. It's spelled audibling.
Okay, I've never heard this, but I am willing to believe it's a word.
So we're going to talk about famous villains and whether we feel they got villain edits. It's going to be fun.
And, yeah, I think we're going to go with Disney villains because we're going to Disneyland in a few weeks and it'll get us ready to know which costume characters to sympathize with and which to step on.
Yes. So that'll be fun. We're going to record that shortly. If you enjoy us, you will enjoy that.
Yeah.
Back to our show, Forged in Fire.
Forged in Fire.
Keep going.
What? That's the whole thing.
Oh. Basically, there was a guy named Fuad.
Fuad.
F-U-A-D.
Yeah.
And he has been doing... He has been forging things forever, and the judges loved him.
He was great. I really liked him.
His first knife was perfect after the first round, and he made a perfect handle, and they wouldn't shut up about how good it felt in the hand, how perfectly indexed it was, which is a phrase they use a lot.
That means how your fingers fit in the blade.
And, like, if the blade is pointed in the right direction.
Okay.
Like, if it's coming out towards the wrong knuckle or something.
Okay, sure, sure.
And after the first two rounds, the other guy was a 19-year-old who was forging out of his garage, and it was clearly still a working junk room garage.
Yeah, it was a little scary watching. I don't know if I would allow my child to forge knives in the garage.
Yeah, this was a garage where a lot of the house was above it.
Yeah. And yeah, there's like a normal suburban house with a garage full of camping supplies and old paints and a little tiny forge.
Now, I like this guy. His name was Jacob. I didn't think I would because, you know, he's the kind of guy that wears an American flag shirt and you go into his garage and there's a big American flag that's an ad for his forging. It says, "To God goes the glory" or something. And I got nothing against this guy. He seems fun. He
seemed like a nice guy. You can be a nice guy and like the American flag.
Yeah.
It's just not popular these days.
Yeah. I don't know if I would hang out with him. I don't know if he would hang out with me, but I liked him. He seems fine. But the fascinating thing was, so the thing they had to make was called a Jumanji.
A Jumanji, there was a second part of the word, though.
There was, but I stopped
Jumanji
listening.
Jumanji Madam.
It
something.
Was called a Jumanji Welcome to the Jungle.
Okay.
Starring The Rock.
All right.
It's a spear with two flared tips coming out the sides right near the tip.
Right, it's like a spear with two knives stuck to the side.
Yeah, and you're supposed to pull horsemen down and then stab them.
Sure.
And Fuad, for his handle, used a rake handle.
He's like, "This is made of solid ash." And then in order to get the rake off, it was really hard to get the rake off for him. He had to, like, yank on it and pull on it. And then the rake handle turned out to be too short. And so he had to put an extension on it.
So in the first test, which was... Doug Marquita is still injured, so one of Doug's students comes out and hacks at some pig corpses. Fuad cuts a giant cut into it. Like, this is an incredibly sharp blade.
Yeah, it just pretty much cuts the,
This was not supposed to be a cut the pig in half challenge, but it looked like that was going to happen.
It very nearly was.
And then the handle breaks.
Right, because it hit the spine and the handle and the, Turns out a rake handle is not meant to drive something through the spine of a pig.
Yeah, I think it may have been weakened from all that wanging he did trying to get the rake part off earlier.
It's true. I think that's... I agree with you completely.
And then Jake's did not do as much damage to the pig, but enough to kill the pig if it had still been alive, and his handle held up. So, to the shock and dismay of everybody...
Fuad did not win.
Jacob was less dismayed, but he was just as shocked.
Yeah, because Fuad... made a amazing weapon, but not a great handle.
So somehow the 19-year-old won, and he was... It's not how he wanted to win, but he will take the win, because he's no dummy.
Sure, he's getting money.
So that was a surprising fortune fire.
Yeah, it was.
Now I would like to close things out with Project Runway All-Stars.
Oh, the finale.
The finale of Project Runway All-Stars.
That's right. I remember because we watched it rather late at night, and I thought it was a normal length show, and then it just went on.
Yep.
Because I forgot it was the finale.
This included an Endless Incredibles 2 ad featuring Edna Mode. I thought it went on too long, but also that it was perfectly on theme.
Yeah, it was.
I don't know where else they're using that commercial.
But it was a very long commercial, and it fit perfectly in with Project Runway, and...
Yep.
Everybody knows she's the best character.
There were several montages of the season so far, and it was all people enjoying themselves. It was like, oh, remember when Anthony and Ken were having fun?
It wasn't a montage of people sniping at each other. It's like, it's going to be... If they did a reunion show, it would be just lovely. Oh, I missed you so much. Yeah. Remember that time? Which I kind of like, especially after Ink Master.
The final three are all nice people, and they like each other. So I thought you might want to say some things about the actual final lines. Starting with Anthony, who I will say right now, I liked the best as a person and also won.
Yeah, I like Anthony a lot. He makes me laugh. So his big showpiece dress was a black velvet sheath dress that he had painted by flinging paint at it.
He said that was his signature.
Because he's flung paint at quite a lot of dresses this season. My feeling was, why did a bird poop on that nice dress?
Yeah.
He also did a white jumpsuit. Was that a jumpsuit thing?
No, I don't think it was.
No.
Those are just pants.
He also did some very nice white satin pants. And a gorgeous peacock dress.
That was the showstopper, the peacock dress.
Yep. Straight dress in the front, giant extended train on the back, made out of a really beautiful blue, green, black print fabric. I really liked it. It was probably my favorite piece from any of the lines. It was dramatic and lovely.
The second person, Fabio.
Fabio's clothes are what you would expect.
He is very interested in shapelessness, but I think he's come closer to the shape of a human over this season.
He likes big, loose, comfy clothes, which I don't have anything against. Is that Fabio?
No, that's too far. Right.
He did a blue, stripy caftan dress that looked very comfortable.
Oh, his stuff usually looks comfortable.
He did a blue jumpsuit, which is only... Yeah, and he did some... Yeah. It's a nice collection, but it's very much his voice, and I personally do not understand his fashion choices because they're not things I would go with. But it was a beautiful collection, and it looked very much like a collection. It was incredibly cohesive.
Yeah, and then there was Stanley, who I also like, but is not as outgoing as Anthony.
Yeah, I like Stanley a lot. Stanley's first look was a white coat over white pants. The coat is amazing. It flares out like a cape when you walk.
It has buttons the size of the ones on Mickey Mouse's shorts.
I don't think those are buttons. Those are actually belt buckles that he has sewn on to be buttons, which is kind of cool. Then he did some beige stuff.
He had one outfit that I thought looked like a Dalek, because there's a ring, double ring of large round deals around the skirt.
Large round metal things, like paillettes, except cookie size. And a couple of... In fact, that was kind of one of the things that pulled his collection together, was everything had this metal detailing on it.
Yeah.
And he showed that dress he showed before, the white one with the leather bib, and he still hasn't hemmed that skirt.
Yeah.
And I'm so mad at him for that skirt being unhemmed.
There was a shot where he explained that he fixed the hem, and they...
zoom in on it, and there's like a bunch of loose threads. Yeah, what he meant is he shortened it, but he didn't.
Yeah, that's the thing about All-Stars is they do it so quickly, they just don't give people time to actually finish anything.
And right. What you're sending down the runway should be your best work, not your most hurried work.
Yeah, this constant thing where they say, all right, you have a week, make 12 outfits. All right, it's been 5 days, make 3 extra outfits.
No.
I mean, the dresses look fine, overall.
They're fine.
But my eyes are not knocked out by them, and I wish they were.
Yeah, I want every challenge to be the avant-garde challenge. That's my problem right there.
I don't want avant-garde challenge because I never understand the judging. They always say either this isn't avant-garde enough or this is too costumey.
Yeah.
It should be too costumey. If I understand it as a piece of clothing,
then it's not avant-garde.
Yeah. All right, I think that catches us up with the television. Oh, there's also Glammaster. You care about Glammaster? Okay, I got something about Glammaster.
Okay, so we watched Glammaster, the competitive makeup putting on show.
Yes.
And it's not great. It is so... The contestants are so unskilled.
I don't think any of the contestants they had this week were good enough to be on television. The first challenge, people just... Their brief was, smoky eye is very big, go do a selfie.
Do a makeup that focuses on your eyes and take a selfie of it, was the thing. And some people just glued things to their head.
Just glued so much garbage to their head.
Oh, here's some transparent tulle fabric. I'll just glue that to my forehead, covering my eyes like a veil. But I won't put enough makeup on my eyes to show through the veil, so that was a fail. It was a failed veil.
Three of the four of them glued paper butterflies to their heads. Then one of them, the one that the judges picked as the best, took a picture from the side of the butterfly so you could see the paper in the back.
Yeah, you couldn't see the printed paper. You could see the white underside of the butterfly.
And
you know how self-conscious butterflies are about their white undersides.
And he was the one who gloated, most people would want to place the butterfly somewhere where it looks pretty. Yeah, man.
That's the point.
It's a makeup challenge. And another of them just did straight up circus clown face painting. All of them did a bunch of lip stuff.
It was circus clown face painting in glitter. It really... Oh, I can't say what I thought it looked like because we'll have to put an adult rating on this.
Oh, we already have to. I said asshole earlier.
We all said that.
One of them...
It was Elf Bukkake, okay?
Yeah, she was worried her face wasn't shiny enough, so she covered it in lip gloss. Now, I don't wear makeup as much as you do. Would you say make your face shinier is usually the goal?
No. There's a phrase... Some people like to call it dewy, which is moisturized. But this was, like, just covered in grease. It was just, like, she was just greased. And it was gross. And that's not even good. And it's lip gloss, so it's terrible for your skin.
So, through the whole episode, there was not one good piece of makeup. And in one of the challenges, everybody spent a lot of time... Oh, the jewel challenge. They were told, stick jewels all over their face. Go big. And we see pictures of these incredible editorial looks where there's more jewels on somebody's face than pinheads got pins.
I know, and they're amazing and glorious. And I'm like, oh yeah, do a Aladdin Sane lightning bolt on somebody's face, just in rhinestones. That would be amazing.
And then all of the contestants are afraid of the makeup, so they're like, well, I drew on a black eyebrow, and then I put black gems there.
Along the eyebrow. It's very conservative.
Most of the jewels they did were the same color as the makeup they were putting it on, so it's like they were just making that makeup reflective. And they spent a bunch of time sticking jewels all over their models' hands, which were not even in the pictures.
Yeah. The reason that I love shows like Face Off are because you get people that are at the top of their field and, well, maybe not famously at the top of their field, but they're people who are really good at what they do. Glam Masters gets people they find on the internet who have an interesting Instagram.
People who can say, I am a beauty influencer with a straight face. They also say this with a straight face. I wanted to bring you something classy, like the Roman Empire.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, somebody said that.
Now, I know a thing or two about the Roman Empire.
I've seen Caligula. It's classy. It's got real actors in it. John Gielgud.
So, I think this has not happened before, but in the final challenge, one of the judges, Mario Devidanovich, strolled over to look over people's work and give some mentor tips. Here's what he said. The makeup has to really work for all types of lighting. Radiant skin, beautiful, glowy, glamorous, the most beautiful version of herself. And then he nodded wisely, proud of the wisdom that he has conveyed. That was nonsense.
He is Kim Kardashian's makeup artist.
Okay, well, he does a great job of that. But he was not able... So they were told to do red carpet looks. And one of them... This is the final two. One of them immediately translated to, my girl has been invited to a red carpet party. No, it's not a party look. It's a red carpet look,
you idiot.
I don't know what that means, but I know it's different from a party look. So the gimmick they were using for models was that they had two identical twins to balance things out, which is kind of fun.
Because they got two competitors for her to give each of them a twin, and she's going to go to the runway.
And the twins were okay looking, except clearly in the final pictures, which were both,
boring,
pretty much identical looks, you could not help notice, because the lipstick was the only place where anything interesting happened, neither of these twins' lips meet.
I think that's just the facial expression they had for the photos.
But I don't see how it could be, because with one of the twins, it wasn't symmetrical. It was a solid line, except like off center, just a little notch up where the lips weren't touching. And it's distracting for the final look of a model on a makeup show where I'm looking at the lipstick if your mouth looks like an accident. I don't know. I am not into Glammaster.
I am not into Glammaster either. I wanted to be into Glammaster because they often cover people in glitter.
Yeah.
But I cover myself in glitter and I do a better job.
You do. You look great.
Thank you. And so shiny.
I think that will wrap us up for this week. But before we go, I want to plug some things.
Oh!
Number one, my Twitter, @Monty_Ashley. Put in that underscore or you'll be looking at a Malaysian woman who says she has the same name as me.
Huh, interesting.
I have been on some episodes of The Incomparable recently. I was also on that episode of Star Trek that I mentioned earlier. And you have a new podcast.
I do. I have a new podcast.
Talk about
it. It is called The Night Library. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us at our website, www.nightlibrary.org. Now, so nightlibrary.org is our site. And what we do is we read horror novels, mostly from the 80s and 90s. And then we discuss them.
What have you done so far?
The first novel we did was something called Jack in the Box. It had a lot going on, and very little of it ever paid off.
And what was the second book
you
did?
The second book we did was David J. Shaw's first novel, The Kill Riff. And that was much... first off, it was much better written. It had a good linear plot we could follow through. It didn't have random Nazis who pop in, but then have nothing to do with the rest of the story.
If you're going to bring Nazis in...
do something.
Yeah. So who are the hosts of this show?
The host of this show is me, Bryce Hall. And my co-host is Jillian Venters from Gothic Charm School. And then our regular extra special guest is you.
Me, Monty Ashley. I've been a guest on the first two episodes.
Which are the only ones we've done so far. And you'll probably continue to be a guest on future episodes because we like you.
That'll be fun. This is a fun podcast about some crazy books that you will not believe what happens in these.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, these books, at least the two I read, they're not great books, but they are amazing books, if that makes sense. And also, you were on an episode of The Incomparable's flagship podcast, The Incomparable. This week, you were on that Harlan Ellison episode.
I was on the Harlan Ellison episode. I'm also on Don't Read the Latin, a horror movie podcast. What I'm saying is I talk a lot.
All right. We remembered to plug
them. Yay, us.
All right.
All right. Totes dyslex, everybody.
Totes dyslex indeed.